it is we have received the same statement. We went over it, and in fact, it's not a new issue that has been raised by our partners. It has been raised maybe 4 to 3 weeks ago, when we had some improvement in taxation and revenue generating system that the government of South Sudan is putting in place. And when it was raised to me, we immediately consulted the concerned authorities, the Minister of Finance, the Revenue Authority, and even the Minister of Foreign Affairs on this matter. The result of our consultation was positive that, yes, it is true according to the laws, international laws and government of South Sudan laws also, said category is exempted from taxes in that way. So we have been actually following up this for it to be implemented. And it is, according to us, it's just a matter of directives reaching the final authorities that are now collecting the revenue. So it is the complaint that raised is not a new one. As I said, we have been actually dealing with it, and we have gone far to put it in a correct way, because we believe, as the government of South Sudan, what our partners are doing is a great help to our people and a great help to the government of South Sudan. And it is a generosity from the international community, especially the donors and our partners that are now exerting a lot of efforts to make sure that they deliver humanitarian services to our people in these critical times of Republic of South Sudan. As such as that, we are considering that as the contribution of government of South Sudan, what they are doing is at least to examine their operations, including importation of some humanitarian assets and any other equipment that are to be used to deliver service to people of South Sudan. We are quite agree with the issue that it is a genuine concern that as the government of South Sudan, we have already positively responded to that. It is a matter of putting it in practice. As I said, the consultation we made together included all the necessary stakeholders and all the concerned stakeholders on the matter. Today, with the humanitarian coordinator, we also met the Vice President, Dr. James Wan Iga, the chairperson of the economic cluster, who is the final authority on the matter. We have met with him. We have also raised the same concern, and we briefed him about the impact that this taxation are actually causing to humanitarian operation, to the extent that if it continues like that, we may not be able with the partners to deliver the sufficient humanitarian services that is needed. So we raised that concern to him, and he positively responded to us by actually requesting us to put it in writing, and we are now putting in writing for him to go and make a formal directives to the lower levels. So I want to say that the concern is genuine, raised by our partners and our donors. The concern is genuine, and we are even considering it as a matter of urgency. And the government of South Sudan is actually understanding the concern as it has a direct impact on humanitarian operation in the Republic of South Sudan.
Yes.
And of course, we are aware that our government of South Sudan is now embarking on some reforms that will actually maximize revenue collection. And we are not forgetting that actually the fact that humanitarian operation should not be taxed for us to reduce the cost of humanitarian delivery in the Republic of South Sudan.
Yes, as you said, that you already, together with the humanitarian coordinator, met with the vice president for economic cluster, and he said he will take the issue, he has put it in writing. Why has it taken that long for you to first get the complaints from the diplomatic missions, and now that the vice president is saying you should put it in writing so that he addresses it to the, or he directs it to the authorities down there? Why has it taken long? Yet before you said this issue is not new.
No, it did not take long. If you look into the sequence of the events, it did not take long. As I said, we have been even discussing it 3 weeks ago, and we have already, as I said, consulted all these the concerned authorities.
Yes.
Of course, anything goes administratively until it goes down. We always take, for instance, political decision, administrative decision, and then it goes to implementing institutions. For it to reach there, it needs some procedures to be done. And unfortunately, of course, maybe the presence of Minister of Finance, who is a direct person on this, was not there to take a decision on time. So I consider it as it is not taken time. It did not take time, but it is just the procedures for it to move from the decision-making, level to the implementation level where it is now being implemented in Nomali or any port like Juba Airport. So it did not take time, and that few days does not mean that the government of South Sudan is not concerned on this, or we did not move on time. It is not like that. It is a matter of following the same channel that the decision followed until it goes to implementing level. So I repeat again that the government of South Sudan is concerned on this, on its obligations toward the international community, and specifically the humanitarian family in the Republic of South Sudan. As somebody who is dealing with this directly, I genuinely take this point as something that we need urgently to move on it so that we put it right. So I want to reiterate our commitment as the government towards this matter, to our partners, and even to our vulnerable people who are now directly affected by this. Because if I mention some of the impact is what WFP is doing to vulnerable people across the country, because the WFP is responsible about feeding our vulnerable people in those areas that have been affected. And as you all know, that we have a lot of factors that are contributing to humanitarian crisis in the Republic of South Sudan, including climate change and the conflict in Sudan. So the country is now suffering from this humanitarian crisis that we need efforts of all the stakeholders on this, including humanitarian partners. So the government of South Sudan is actually concerned about this, and we took it positively, that concern, and we want to assure them that we are working on it so that it is now correctly put in a deserved way. Because
yes,
as the government of South Sudan, we are, yes, improving our taxation system, which, of course, will affect some of areas, and then it can just be easily corrected so that we go in the right direction, because what we need is the development of what we are doing. From time to time, we check on it, and if it affects, so immediately people will come in and correct the situation.
Yes, but I believe the laws are in place, and which would not give even a room for any mistakes that would require correction, because the laws are clear, as you said, in these international laws and even our domestic laws regarding humanitarians and diplomatic missions. You earlier said that you will be examining all the imports, particularly equipment or assets of these humanitarians. Could you shed more light on that?
Yeah, what I meant is that when the government of South Sudan took those reforms to taxation, it of course applies it on all these categories. But what I want to talk about is that the category of humanitarian assets or items that are being used in the Republic of South Sudan to deliver services to the needy people that are now vulnerable is the category I'm talking about.
Yes.
And they are, and when these items comes in, for instance, food items, non-food items, including fuel that are being used for this operation across the country, when they come in, some use port of Numali, some comes through the Yuba International Airport. This is what I mean. So it is very clear that those items should be actually separated from the other items that we are using in South Sudan, because these are for humanitarian purposes that are obviously known that they should be not taxed, because these are non-profit use of items. So this is the area that we are now talking about. And in the Republic of South Sudan, as I said, the number of vulnerable people are increasing because of conflict in Sudan, and some areas we are affected by climate change. So we find from time to time a number of people are coming up. For instance, last week we had a displacement in Mundri East, that its citizen came now up to Rokon, which is a part of Central Equatoria State, where we are now trying to look into respond to the needs of more than 6,000 people who came from there. All of them need shelter, food, even the medicines. And later on, we will see how do they go back. And you get similar cases in some parts of the Republic of South Sudan, which need an emergency attention. So the needs are increasing. So we need those items actually to be more and sufficient so that they actually respond to the needs of these people. So the least thing that we can do as the government of South Sudan is to facilitate this assistance to come very smoothly and very quickly, so that they also rescue people from those difficulties. So and that is what we are now doing as the government, to facilitate and also to contribute to what these people need, because this is our direct responsibility as the government of South Sudan. And if there is any people who are now helping us in doing this, definitely is our role to make it easy for them, including taxation, so that we reduce the cost of humanitarian services delivery in the Republic of South Sudan. So in context, we are actually taking it very positively, and we are sure the concern, institutions, including our international partners, that the government of South Sudan will take the necessary measures to put it right. It is not actually a claim, or it is not what this international community need from us, but it is the facilitation that we can do as the government of South Sudan to the humanitarian cooperation to our people, that our own people will actually be benefiting from it.
Okay.
As I said, as an example to WFP operation, there is some areas that we only need to drop some food. So we need also to facilitate that process so that our people also get the food on time.
Okay. Finally, also the issue of the multiple checkpoints where these illegal collections also happen. Now, as you said, that soon there will be directives down to the lower authorities in order to implement this. And people usually, these humanitarians, as they have been complaining again and again about those checkpoints. So what's the guarantee that this time those people down there will be respecting these directives?
My brother, this has been talked that we always discuss it, and this has been a concern big raised from time to time. And as the government of South Sudan, we took a lot of measures that we are almost trying to eliminate all these practices, including illegal checkpoints. Yes, there is checkpoints there, but humanitarian convoys and humanitarian items and services that are moving in those places should be facilitated so that they move. So even if there is a checkpoint, it should not be for humanitarian items in terms of taxation and in terms of all these procedures that are supposed to be done to other category of movement of people or goods. So this has been there, and we have now taken measures every year or every time we take measures whenever we hear that there is concern here and there, including Her Excellency Vice President Mama Rebecca, the Chair of Youth and Gender Cluster, made it very clear to all the governors of 10 state and 3 administrative areas that they should consider all these concerns. And I think the message has already gone, and we are, from time to time, we are checking on those things. It is sometimes there is those areas that maybe they cannot be reached on time. This is where we still hear some concern. But I want to tell you in general term that, yes, it has been a concern, but the government of South Sudan, through the Minister of Humanitarian Affairs, has already taken measures to reduce the risk of that malpractices you are talking about. Yes, it has been a concern. And the guarantee you are talking about is what we are doing, because the guarantee is that the matter has been now considered to be a genuine concern, and the government is now taking measures to resolve it. This is the concern we are talking about.
Okay.
And of course, if there is any incident happen here and there, it cannot be advised to be the general case in the Republic of South Sudan. We are now taking lead of actually making humanitarian operation and environment very smooth in the Republic of South Sudan. And in this year, the beginning of the year, we have declared here as the ministry that the priority this year is to make sure that humanitarian workers, humanitarian items are actually kept in safe environment so that the operation goes in a good way. And these issues of taxation are actually to be put in a correct way that is actually in line with the international laws and even the government of South Sudan laws. We have a very clear laws on this, and this is in that line we are now talking about it. We are not talking out of the law, we are talking within the laws of the government of South Sudan that are actually considering the laws of international practice on this.
Okay, Okay, and then finally, sorry for also taking you long. What can you tell us regarding the latest updates on returnees coming from Sudan, particularly the transportation from those areas, the centers at the border, Reng, and to their places of origin? How many people so far have been transported?
Yes, you are right. Since this conflict erupted last year, the policy that we undertook is that we facilitate the movement of people to their final destination. We don't want to put them in camps. We want to encourage their movement to their final destination. This is why up to now more than maybe almost 340,000 have already arrived to the country. And from this, out of 87% is South Sudanese returnees, which requires transportation to their final destination. Almost half of this figure has already been taken to their final destination, to the 10 states and 3 administrative areas, to even the counties. This is what we have now done. Although, yes, there is still challenges on that transportation, but the government of South Sudan and the partners, specifically IOM, are now doing their best to transport these people to their final destination. And most of these people came through the entry point of Joda through Reng. And this is why now we are concentrating on airlifting them from Malakal Airport to mainly Wau Airport and other cities within Bargazal, and to Juba Airport, where they can be taken to their final destination by land. We are also taking them from Reng to Malakal by boats. And I want to really appreciate and thank what our partners are doing in this matter, which if they were not there, it would have actually been very, very difficult. And this is why when anything connecting to their operation comes up, we immediately move so that we put it in the right way, so that we facilitate what they are doing. They have been doing their best to transport all these people to their final destination. We are still even operating on this basis. But the problem is that those people that arrives are more than people we take because of difficulties in logistics. For instance, if 1,500 to 2,500 comes every day and we only take maybe 500, then it means definitely with the time people will accumulate in those places. This is why if you go Reng now, you will get people have accumulated there because of maybe difficulties in transporting them. If also you come to Reng, I mean Malakal, you will get the same people that have already congested, and the number now is reaching even in Malakal, those who are waiting for transportation is reaching 10,000 by now. And in Reng, the presidency Reng is about 50-something thousand, both returnees and refugees. And all this operation we are doing has a lot of challenges, as I said, because of dropping funding and rising of arrivals. So this is why we concentrated on moving them onward on time. And we are now trying by all means to reduce the cost of moving these people by at least providing fuel, providing all these assistance on time. So it's a complex operation that we are now dealing with as a result of conflict in Sudan, which affected our normal humanitarian operation that we have been doing as a result, for instance, displacement here and there because of climate change.
Okay, a quick one before I let you go, just maybe in less than a minute. You earlier spoke about the people displaced who are in Rokon right now, about 6,000 or slightly more. So what exactly, what response or what has the government already intervened with to help them as we talk?
Yes, together with the local authorities. When I say local authorities, I mean Western Equatoria authorities and Central Equatoria government authorities. So with these authorities, together with the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs and the RRC, we have already managed to mobilize some resources, food items and non-food items. Some have already been delivered and some may be delivered from tomorrow. So we have been coordinating with the local authorities on this. Specifically today, we had a meeting, a joint meeting together with the deputies of the governors of the two states, His Excellency, the deputy governor of Western Equatoria, and Her Excellency, the deputy governor of Central Equatoria. And we had a very, very good meeting where we coordinated our efforts so that we respond to the needs of these people until we find stability in where they actually were displaced so that they go back. So there is already a response, emergency response, that have already been coordinated, and it will reach them. Maybe if we will take this part tomorrow, and part has already been taken, and we will continue to take, because the needs will continue to be there until their final status is now resolved. So what, the government of South Sudan has already responded to that.
What are those specific maybe items?
Food items, I mean the flour, I mean these flour and oil and beans, those immediate items that can be planned to be a food has already been gathered, and some have already been taken, I said, and some will be taken tomorrow. And then issues of shelter, we are talking about tents. We gathered some, would also be taken. If it is not enough, we will also look for another. But the idea is that to put them up there in a temporary basis until we see or their status is resolved, and then they go back. Because our idea is that we respond to the emergency, but we will make sure that people go to normality, where they can start cultivating, because we are now approaching the rainy season, where we want to make our people ready for that cultivation. So as soon as we finalize their status, they have to go back to their places so that they go and continue with their agricultural activities. That is the durable solution to any emergency we are responding to, because we want to encourage the people of South Sudan, yes, to tolerate those shocks, but immediately they have to go to their normalcy, where they can be able to produce for themselves what they can eat, and they continue with their normal life.
Thank you so much, Honorable Minister, for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for you, and thank you for Mirai.
Okay.